I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved in a racial incident.
He said you were racist.
He said you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question, yes or no.
What about the fake person?
Yes or no.
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, April 25th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. Let's get started. Yesterday was, I think, you know, I would consider it a fairly important broadcast, and as I said during yesterday's broadcast, I referred to hour one as total war and hour two as Deus Ex Machina, the AI deception. And really, you know, the as I said from the outset of hour one, actually, the point that I was trying to make was not to amplify the mystical, magical narrative that's been framed concerning this artificial intelligence technology, but really to demystify it. And the principal source we leaned on to do that was Daniel O'Connor and his video published back in February on YouTube titled "Resist the AI, quote unquote, Deception, ChatGPT Exposed. It's not what you've been told it is." And, you know, setting aside Daniel's Catholicism, no particular offense intended, I would say that Daniel O'Connor is an unimpeachable witness, having the background that he does in technology, knowing where if he speaks intimately. That was part of the video clip that we played yesterday, him showing clips from his formative years in academia, learning about this technology and using it. So he's telling you from a very informed perspective exactly what AI is. What is it? It's just Legos and really fast math, and he proved it. You can watch the video yourself. Resist the AI deception. ChatGPT exposed. It's not what you've been told it is. It's nothing mystical or magical. And that, I think, it has a weird... It's a kind of a weird letdown. It's a letdown for a lot of people, I think, in weird ways. Because as Neil Postman told us back in the 90s, we have a penchant for technology. We have this new religion that says technology will save us. It's the salvation of mankind. And so that was actually part of my description. I wrote a fairly lengthy description. I never, you know, I'm terrible about doing this lately, but I did yesterday because I thought it was important. Every day is important, but yesterday was particularly important. So in the hour two description, I wrote Deus Ex Machina, the AI deception. We've been hearing a great deal lately, even more than usual, about both the salvific promise and the dark mystical magic of so-called AI. And it does, there is this salvific promise in it. You know, this can solve all of our problems. And I think even the most well-informed who don't buy into all of the hype surrounding artificial intelligence, but who nonetheless have been swept up in the current of technological innovation as the salvation of mankind, that religion. Like I said, I think for those folks, it's a weird sort of letdown. And so, you know, that's an awkward moment to have that realization. And I think we lost Fred in Iowa recently. You know, Fred always appreciated the mention of cognitive dissonance. We have a lot of biases, and there is a sort of predation of our biases in the information war, seeking to conscript our imagination, belief, and to influence and persuade us. For what purpose? Well, as Vance Packard reminds us in The Hidden Persuaders, Bernays told the world that newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose. What purpose? To influence ideas and what? Actions. To fundamentally alter the individual organism and in turn the collective organism. James Corbett did a good job. We played an extended clip of Corbett's episode 441, Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, yesterday. We played that in the first hour as part of yesterday's broadcast. And James did a great job, I think, of saying, it's, you know, essentially to sort of reframe it, even if we could vote 545 people out of Washington, D.C., even if we could throw out all of the staffers and lobbyists, that doesn't change the culture, so to speak. The problem is much bigger than one person. And so to target fixate, as it were, on a single person or persons is a sort of blindness. Anyway, without waxing too philosophical, I want to begin today's broadcast. You know, yesterday the second hour was about the AI deception, and it is a deception in many ways. And as I said yesterday, it seems increasingly the more we hear about this technology, this artificial intelligence, so-called machine learning stuff. And again, we played a clip from TrueStream Media's When Seeing and Hearing is No Longer Believing. And, you know, I have tremendous respect for those guys. And I know that they are as well informed as just about any of us, you know, out there paying attention to what's going on. But the, you know, the question mark, and this is definitely not to cast aspersions. This is more a sort of point of clarification for the everyman, so to speak. Most people are not familiar with all of the material that's been produced on this discussion. The ability of, you know, Clark's third law, essentially, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. What am I talking about? Well, you know, the mind reading or question mark aspect, you know, one of the things that Melissa touched on in that video was, you know, the story she mentioned, for example, of her mother-in-law who said, I didn't even mention a boat to anyone. I just thought about it. She didn't remember saying anything to anybody about it. She just thought about it. And next thing you know, she's getting ads for boats. Well, again, I will say, and again, this is not a criticism. I'm just bringing it up because I think, you know, there are people who may be experiencing this or hearing about it, at least that kind of experience people are having. And that just sounds like witchcraft, you know, to most people. My goodness. But I would remind folks, I feel like we're coming full circle. For more than a decade, obviously, pretty much since the beginning of this broadcast, I've been talking about things like Howard Rheingold's smart mobs, and it just seems to fall on deaf ears. Okay, so what? The standout of all the stories that Howard Rheingold told in Smart Mobs, which I think was published in 2004, early 2000s, the one story that really stood out to me that I've mentioned over the years is the MIT grad student who shared phones or gave phones to his fellow students on the condition, and they were free, on the condition that everything that they did was part of this lab experiment. So, you know, they were surveilled knowingly. So, you know, GPS tracking and all of the metadata, essentially, who they're calling, when they're calling, those kinds of things, where they are, how long they're there. And within a very short period of time, this student was able to predict and essentially tell his fellow students where they would be weeks in advance with greater accuracy than they could tell themselves. That sounds like mind reading. It sounds like Clark's third law. And according to Howard Rheingold, that technology was acquired by Google, and the rest is sort of history. But that was back before September 11, 2001, for example. And imagine the leaps and bounds with all of the things that we've seen. You know, the coup with the Obama administration. Despite Andrew Breitbart's best efforts, the coup with the Obama administration's re-election campaign in particular was harnessing social media in particular for vote harvesting. And then the Trump campaign took that technology and that concept and flipped it, inverted it for voter suppression in the 2016 election. And Michael Kaczynski was responsible for the data that turned the world upside down, according to the title of the article. The guy who said, with a few hundred likes, not things that you post, the metadata that comes out of the likes, what does this mean? What do the, you know, the information about the information, the metadata, what does this mean? What do all these things mean? So Michael Kaczynski apparently is able to tell more about us with a few hundred likes than we can probably tell about ourselves. And we played the clip of Harari saying, to hack you, the algorithms just need to know you a little better than you know yourself, and most people don't know themselves. And this is an age-old concept. Indeed, you know, speaking of Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders, the Bernaysian contingent has long said, you know, that's one of the that's kind of one of the opening sort of introductory remarks from Vance Packard's Hidden Persuaders. You know, we're consumers are liars. That's why chapter two is titled The Trouble with People. So, you know, from chapter two, persuading us as consumers, the trouble with people, and quote from The Advertising Age, an advertising periodical. In very few instances do people really know what they want, even when they say they do. And then Packard writes, the trend in marketing to the depth approach was largely impelled by difficulties the marketers kept encountering in trying to persuade Americans to buy all the products their companies could fabricate. Only particularly disturbing, one particularly disturbing difficulty was the apparent perversity and unpredictability of the prospective customers. Marketers repeatedly suffered grievous losses in campaigns that by all the rules of logic should have succeeded. The marketers felt increasing dissatisfaction with their conventional methods for sizing up a market. These methods were known in the trade most commonly as nose counting, quote unquote. Under nose counting, statistic-minded interviewers would determine the percentage of married women ages 21 to 35 in Omaha, Nebraska, who said they wanted and would buy a three-legged stove if it cost no more than $249. The trouble with this approach, they found, was that what people might tell interviewers had only a remote bearing on how the people would actually behave in a buying situation when confronted with a three-legged stove or anything else. Gradually, many perceptive marketers began becoming suspicious of three basic assumptions they had made in their efforts to be logical concerning the predictable behavior of human beings, especially customers. There's more, but you get the point. And so now, come forward to now, imagine a world where these same folks, imagine this world now where political scientists, for example, have access to volumes of information about all of us because we have these devices that follow us around everywhere and spy on our every second of existence and report back diligently. And we are spied on in our natural habitat, so to speak. We are observed blissfully unaware of the spying. Observed in our natural habitat. And like I said yesterday, put that together with the millions of combinations that have been that have emerged in the personality assessment systems, the various systems that have grown out of really kind of the intelligence, kind of an offshoot of what is the intelligence community. And what do you get? You get Clark's third law. People can, you know, if we can put supercomputing, like I said yesterday, if you take the personality assessment systems with its millions of combinations and dump big data of spying on you every second into supercomputing, super fast math, it looks like Clark's third law. But it's not magic. There's a point to all of this. I'll make the point on the other side of the break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
protest inside the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday raised some questions. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Protesters swarmed the Tennessee State Capitol building yesterday as votes were being taken to expel three Democrat members of the State House. The vote to expel these three Democrats is because last week those three joined in another protest inside the Capitol building. That protest disrupted the proceedings of the legislature. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Should elected officials be removed because they protested and disrupted the proceedings? One thing I definitely noticed is that nobody is reporting on this storming of the state capitol as an insurrection. 1,000 people have been prosecuted for storming a Capitol building and disrupting an official proceeding on January 6, 2021. How is this any different? Oh, because these protesters want gun control. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps. Ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours. Step through with me. These days are ours.
From Vance Packard's The Hidden Persuaders, Chapter 2, The Trouble with People. Because we're all just hopeless misanthropes, after all, right? So, gradually many perceptive marketers began becoming suspicious of three basic assumptions they had made in their efforts to be logical concerning the predictable behavior of human beings, especially customers. First, they decided you can't assume that people know what they want. Example given. Second, some marketers concluded you can't assume people will tell you the truth about their wants and dislikes, even if they know them. What you are more likely to get, they decided, are answers that will protect the informants in their steadfast endeavor to appear to to the world as really sensible, intelligent, rational beings. One management consulting firm has concluded that accepting the word of a customer as to what he wants is, quote, the least reliable index the manufacturer can have on what he ought to do to win customers, end quote. But what we see is a sort of placating of ignorance, and we are dumber. The evidence of that is pretty self-explanatory. It's a self-evident maxim. How many people in America these days could go back and read letters from the American Revolutionary period and really expound? So tell me, what exactly does this mean? In fact, you know, we have a generation now that is being encouraged not to be able to read those writings. That's disturbing. And, you know, that if nothing else convinces people that we're in a state of total war, I think that probably does as fine a job as anything. So what's the point of all of this? The point is, if you're mad, it's working. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Lennon observed, the establishment irritates you, pulls your beard, flicks your face to make you fight, because once they've got you violent, they know how to handle you. We do have a pretty high incarceration rate here per capita, don't we? Lennon observe, the only thing they don't know how to handle is nonviolence and humor. And, you know, that is slightly disingenuous. That's part of the kind of the rest of the story that we're going to get into. I began with, before we did yesterday's broadcast, and we will continue on, the resistance operating concept. Gene Sharp, you know, the ghost of Gene Sharp lives on. And Saul Alinsky, for that matter. This has been really sort of codified in what is currently referred to as the resistance operating concept. It is a way to weld together that element that Hayek, to create it and to weld it together, the element in Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, that basically will cheerfully welcome its dictator. That fairly homogenous and strong group with views that are not its own, which is point number two that he makes. Maybe we'll get back to that today. I've been threatening to for months. So the point is this: if you're mad, it's working. And you're probably deceived. No particular offense to anyone. But that's the objective here. You know, it's Huntington's Clash of Civilizations. That's, you know, Huntington's Clash of Civilizations and ultimately Fukuyama's End of History and the Last Man, which incidentally I think correlates with Romans 11:25, personally. So the point is, from Matthew 24, Jesus says, see to it that no one misleads you. That is an active statement. That is not passive. See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name. That's the first thing. Saying, I am the Christ, and many will mislead many. So there's a focus here. Be on the lookout for deception, and it's in the form of, say, an Ephesians 6 battleground, as I concluded yesterday's broadcast with. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome back. If you're mad, it's working. Yeah, but what do you do with all this insanity going on around us? Well, it's not going to be fixed, if at all. And people have been saying for a long time, it's all over but the crime. I mean, that was basically the theme, or at least the opening, of what the late, great Jack Otto said in that last public talk that he gave in 2007, wasn't it? But still, you know, we have the Black Guard now, as Alan Watt reminded us before he passed away. It was right around, it was the early moments of COVID. I want to say it was May of 2020. I think it was around May of 2020 that I remember Alan Watt talking about the transition of the uniforms. You know, and, you know, speaking of the gaslighting and all the insanity of the psychological operations that are going on, at the same time the uniforms have been changing sort of in mass, that was really actually around, you know, right after September 11, 2001, obviously. But at the same time, we started hearing about this sort of reemergence of a push of it that Alan Watt was talking about. We get these messages that say back to blue. The uniforms haven't been blue en masse for a long time. And, you know, truth be told, it's always been a form of militarism, the uniform, historically. So, anyway. But we keep telling ourselves these pretty little lies. There is a delineation somewhere, even though, you know, there are multi-jurisdictional this and, you know, inter-operational that and, you know. Anyway, the resistance operating concept is something that we'll definitely come back to. I think most people would be fascinated. I think we would all be fascinated if we really stop and just sort of observe instead of getting upset. You know, it's interesting. The people who talk about dealing with pathological narcissists and the vampiric nature of the pathological narcissist usually say, just don't get upset and try to be an observer. Imagine yourself as a fly on the wall. Even though it's your own life, try to sort of, you know, engage in this weird dissociative, you know, just observance of your own life. I think in a similar sense, if we could just stand apart, even maybe, you know, momentarily for a day or whatever, and then go back to being upset if that's what we want to do, would be very perhaps enlightening. Have you noticed, for example, some of the changes in the commercials? I think these things, these subtleties, cannot be overstated. Remember the old commercials when advertisers played cool 60s music, you know, like advertising was just one giant Big Chill soundtrack or something? And before that, of course, you know, you had the old radio ads, which were fantastic. 4 out of 5 doctors prefer Camels, or, you know, those kinds of things. T for taste, whatever. They, you know, the old radio ads were very interesting. Now, what do we have? Have you seen, for example, or heard Google Chrome's ads? You know, the Zelda sounding ad, for example. I don't remember what that is, but there's one that sounds like you're listening to some kind of little kiddies video game. Not cool 60s music. And then there's the one with, you know, all of the people in every age and, you know, social demographic going, staring at a device apparently, and, you know, just sounding like absolute barnyard animals. And I wondered when I saw that, was that done by the Bud Light ad agency? Probably. Wasn't that a Super Bowl ad? The What's Up ad? So, you know, we're all just feckless little children. Don't worry, Chrome will remember your passwords because you can't remember anything. And so, again, you know, how far does this psychological conditioning go? Because, you know, and the title of the one is, or the tagline, excuse me, at the end of the one is, "There's no place like Chrome." Is that a weird Wizard of Oz reference? What the heck is that? There's no place like Chrome. Are you supposed to click your heels when you save your password in Chrome? Click your heels three times and save your password. Because we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. It reminds me of the video, you know, these subtleties. The video Brianna and Robbie talked about mainstream media warning against Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s 2024 presidential run. And there was a clip that was it NBC aired, I want to say, that included, as Robbie mentioned, a bit where they said, and these things are edited together, so, you know, you could say maybe it was accidental, and I would say perhaps, but just about nothing is left to chance in those things when you can create these things ahead of time. This is not something that was just a quick mashup on the fly. There was effort, shall we say, put into it. And at the moment that the narrator says his family wasn't with him, as Robbie mentioned, is the moment that you see a picture of his assassinated uncle. So what's the message there? Is the message not necessarily to the general public, but to Bobby Kennedy Jr. himself? Hey, are you sure you want to do this? You know, remember that bit that remember the bit that Bill Hicks used to do about when the new president is elected? It was part of the JFK assassination thing, I think, where, you know, he would do the back and to the left, back and to the left. And you're telling me the shot came from, there was one magical shot that came from behind him. So when he was doing that bit, he would say, you know, I think there is, when a president gets elected, he gets ushered to a room in the White House nobody knows about. And the lights go off and a projector goes on, a smoky room, and all of a sudden footage of the JFK assassination rolls, but it's not the Zapruder footage. It's from a different vantage point. And then the projector goes off, the lights come on, and somebody says, any questions? And the new guy says, nope, just where do we start? What are we doing? So, you know, are we noticing these kinds of things? So with the back to the Chrome stuff, and there's no place like Chrome. There's no place like Chrome. The Wizard of Oz. Going to the theosophical land of Oz. The theosophists love L. Frank Baum and the story of the Wizard of Oz, by the way. You can find several write-ups, theosophical write-ups on it. That's not a coincidence. I've talked about this before, but do people wonder? Oh, well, my password is encrypted. Is it? Well, then, A, when you're typing in that box, how does that box know you don't have an uppercase character? You don't have a lowercase character. You don't have an alpha or a numeric character. You don't have a special character. How does it know? And if it's encrypted, how is the password decrypted to make sure that what you typed in matches what you typed in before? Well, it's hashed and it's salted and it's right, but it's also dehashed and desalted in order to verify when you retype it, isn't it? So These things are myths. They're stubbornly persistent myths. But, you know, we kind of like our myths. Because if we have to tip at those sacred cows or tilt the windmills, then that just, you know, there are some things that go along with that, and I'm not really comfortable with that, so let's not do that. It is what it is. Speaking of things that make you go, one of the things that, so the announcement obviously has been made that Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News and Don Lemon is finally out at CNN. And it happened pretty much simultaneously, the announcements. I think the Fox announcement came first and then Don Lemon's tweet. I don't understand what happened. What happened is you're a victim of your own paradise, buddy. I can't imagine that he's really surprised with his purple tweet, his screenshot of a thing or whatever the heck that is. And who knows what's, you know, what that's all about. But if Don Lemon, if you're genuinely surprised, let me just dispel the mystery for you. You are a victim of your own success. If you're genuinely surprised, which I highly doubt, that is a point that has been made ad nauseum. We play the intro of, you know, hating Breitbart on this broadcast these days before we lost the big guy himself, the late, great John Stadmiller. I don't even want to say late, great, but, you know, the great John Stadmiller. Before we lost him, I asked, and I had been wrestling with it for years. I want to play it. I want to play it. I want to play it. And basically, you know, when I finally asked, the big guy said, well, is there, basically, you know, what he said in essence was, is there a reason that you shouldn't? And I said, well, I don't think so. And he said, well, then what's the problem? You know, just don't do anything stupid. And it is borderline inappropriate. It's not to be edgy. It's to hopefully, you know, the folks that think that they're waking up. I mean, Kool-Aid comes in a variety of flavors, you know, and this guy was, again, sort of the unimpeachable witness talking about Whitaker Chambers and, you know, saying like those who'd gone before him, Breitbart, that is, he was sort of an apostate in his community, thought he was, go listen to that interview or the talk that he did at Heritage about his book before he was snuffed out. And, you know, saying I was a good liberal growing up. I always wanted a black friend. Sir, will you be my friend? It's hilarious listening to him, you know, and he says, you know, finally it dawned on me. So the point is, we've been told, the story has been told, this is an ideology that will cannibalize itself eventually. So if Don Lemon is surprised, it is because the ideology that actually Don Lemon was as dutiful as anyone about proliferating is cannibalistic in nature. And there have been countless illustrations done by talented people exposing the cannibalistic nature of this ideological bent. It happens all the time. So if there's any mystery to it at all, I think that is... I think that's the simple explanation. I think that, you know, the Tucker Carlson thing is interesting. I don't buy the Dominion settlement. We don't know the details, do we? But we know enough to know, you know, we don't know the details, but we know enough. It's kind of like the story that I mentioned yesterday where, you know, this happened, and look, there are pictures. We know enough of the details to sort of have a Streisand effect in my mind. We don't know enough that if it turns out to be false, then there is criminality involved. In other words, if we've been fed a narrative about a settlement that, you know, it reminds me of Tucker and Don Lemon, you know, the announcement being made simultaneously. And the thing that is most shocking to me is that the media seems to be trying to get out in front of people saying, well, why did that happen at the same time? Nothing to see here. Again, Streisand effect. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. You know, maybe we all just have too much time on our hands. If we're all just helpless little victims and we don't have solutions, maybe we should just all find something to apply ourselves to. It's interesting. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his Twitter account, released a tweet this morning, presumably from him. And it reads, "I have known and liked Joe Biden for many years, but we differ profoundly on fundamental issues such as corporate influence and government." I guess maybe Bobby Kennedy Jr. isn't a young global leader. I don't know. "Censorship, civil liberties, poverty, corruption, and war policy, among others. I look forward to engaging him in debates and town hall meetings. In a primary election that is honest, civil, and transparent, I invite him into a new era of respectful dialogue in these times of division." And maybe we should play the clip of him on talking to Jimmy Dore. And, you know, the word binary is what he said. I couldn't think of it when I talked about this last time, but, and then finally it came to me. But, you know, instead of, you know, talking about the dialectical conflict or other ways that it's been framed, I thought it was pretty brilliant to mention it in a binary sense. And that is, I think, a good way to think of it. And it's a bifurcated fallacy is what it is here, and that's the technique of infamy, you know, to get you to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly over which one is true. And he says, I don't want to get reduced to that binary echo chamber, basically. So you read this tweet, and it has the hashtag Kennedy24. There's nothing disrespectful in that. You know, "I've known and liked Joe Biden for many years, but we differ profoundly on fundamental issues." But there's nothing to hate in there. There's nothing to point the free-floating anxiety that Matthias Desmet talks about at. There's nothing to, you know. And all of that, again, gets back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, The Three Reasons Why the Worst Get on Top. And what do you see? You see the kind of trolling that Jaron Lanier talked about in You're Not a Gadget Manifesto, the opening. Maybe I'll talk about that. I'll give you some examples when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, "Oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago." And I'm like, "What?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know." How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.